Welcome. Lovely to see you. Thanks for being here. We're going to be continuing our series this week. So we've just done 2 weeks, and this is the third, thinking about our new mission statement as a church family. So here we are. We're a family, Berry Street Community Church, a family enjoying life in Jesus and making him known. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about this idea of our being a family. Because we're believers in Jesus, we've been united to Jesus, we're brothers and sisters together. Jesus is a bit like our older brother and his father, our father. We're family because we're believers in Jesus. And we were thinking about what it looks like to live that out together, what it looks like to be a family a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we thought about seven prompts to Christian joy. Ways in which we can enjoy being Christian because we have life in Jesus. Maybe you remember last week we landed climaxed with this idea of union with Christ, that we've been knitted together with Christ. And so because of that, we have every spiritual blessing. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have eternal life. We have adoption. We have Christ's righteousness as our own. And so the Father smiles at us and loves us. If you're a believer this morning, God loves you. Just allow that to warm your heart. What a joyful thing as you enter Monday morning. If you're a Christian, God loves you. I hope that makes you smile a little bit, even maybe not on the outside, hopefully on the inside. God loves you. What a joyful thing. What a wonderful thing. We get to enjoy being Christian. And so this week, we're going to think about what it means that we're a family enjoying life in Jesus and making him known. It's on the front of our building. Don't know if you noticed, have you seen that? Have you noticed that? It's not new. It's on the front of the building, making Jesus known. And in a very real sense, this church very seriously exists. The church across the globe really exists for that task, to make Jesus known. In Ephesians, we read that God's big plan for the world is enacted, comes about through the church as the church makes Jesus known to people everywhere. And so, in a very real sense, we exist to make Jesus known. I wonder how you feel about that, about it being our task, our responsibility as a church to make Jesus known. This desire, this task, it makes us, defines us to be an evangelical church. It means that we have good news that we want to share. It's what it means to be an evangelical, sharing good news. It's what evangelism means, to share good news about Jesus. And so I wonder, as we think about making Jesus known, how do you feel? No need to share your thoughts, just in your head. I wonder, as you reflect on this question, how do you feel about making Jesus known to friends, to colleagues, to neighbors, to the people that you live and work with? I wonder how you feel about making Jesus known if you're a believer. Well, this morning I want us to be encouraged. It's happening. By definition, as we exist as a church, Jesus is made known. In some sense, we don't really need to do anything except believe and exist, and Jesus is made known. As people walk past the building, they see a church, and they see it says something about Jesus, and in some small sense, he is made known. As people go on Google Maps and they see Berry Street Community Church pop up, because we're on the map, Jesus is on the map. Oh, what a relief. Oh, if we don't need to do anything. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But there's a very real sense in which, because we exist as a church, Jesus is made known. Be encouraged. I want us to also trust the Spirit of God who's at work within us to make Jesus known. As you go about your daily life, as you live as a Christian, Jesus is made known through you. Maybe in a very small way, maybe in a very big way if you have lots of opportunities and you tell lots of people about Jesus, but Jesus is made known as you live your life. And then I want us to praise God for the ways we actively make Jesus known. Think about Sunday morning services. Jesus is presented every week and we worship him and we sing to him. People come in and hopefully they get a sense of Jesus being with them and with us. As we live our lives, Jesus is made known. But through tots and through the Sunday service, through the meeting place, through our lives and our words, Jesus is made known. Praise God. We are a family enjoying life in Jesus and making him known. That is a present reality. But there's something about this statement is both true of us whilst also desiring to grow in it. So we increasingly want to be the family God has made us to be. We increasingly want to enjoy life in Jesus, and we increasingly want to make Jesus known. And so this morning I have one desire, just to help us see the natural, normal pattern of following Jesus. And I think it comes clearly in this passage that we read. Hopefully you've got it, 1002, Mark chapter 1. I want us to see the way that enjoying life in Jesus and making him known is connected. Those two things can't be separated. The pattern of following Jesus. Maybe you noticed it as we read, as Jesus called his first disciples. So Simon and Andrew are there. They're there putting their nets into the lake. They're not fishing from boats. They're fishing from the side of the lake. And they're putting their nets out. They are actively in the process of fishing. They probably spent the evening before sorting out their nets, preparing them, getting them ready, untangling them, taking out all the dead bits of fish and getting them ready for the new day. And this morning they've come to the lake and they're putting their nets in to gather, to literally gather their livelihood, to gather the fish that they will take to the market and sell. They've come down to the lake to earn their keep. And in verse 16, Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon and his brother Andrew as they're casting their nets into the lake because they're fishermen. And Jesus spots them, and he simply says this, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. As Jesus speaks, maybe they've met him before, maybe they've heard about him before, maybe they haven't, but he speaks these words, "Come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people." I wonder what their instinctive reaction was, their instinctive thoughts were. Fish for people? Fish, what? Fish for people? What is he on about? How does that work? Fish for people. If it was me, I'd be thinking, well, look, Jesus, it's a bit inconvenient that you've come to talk to us now because, well, we're just in the process of doing the fishing. Can we meet later at the pub and have a chat about this? Because it's just a bit inconvenient right now. Can we chat later? I wonder what your instinctive thoughts would be in that situation. But we're given their instinctive reaction in verse 18. At once, they left their nets and followed him. No chit-chat, no kind of dilly-dallying, I'm not sure. It's just an immediate decision to go and follow Jesus, to come to him. And the same is true in verse 20. Jesus spots James and his brother John, in a boat this time, preparing their nets, getting ready to fish. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. These men, they drop everything. Simon and Andrew, they just leave their nets in the water, maybe half in, half out. Somebody's walking there later in the day, and they're like, well, what's going on? Have these people been kidnapped? Where have they gone? Why are the nets left? Oh, I think they're Simon and Andrew's nets. What's happened? They left their nets. They went with Jesus. And James and John, the same. They leave behind their dad. He's just left to his work, fishing with his employees. And the pattern that Jesus sets out here in verse 17 is, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. The pattern, the natural, normal pattern of following Jesus is come to Jesus, then go for Jesus. Come, follow me, and I will send you out. Come to Jesus, then go for Jesus. And the first part of that is vital. You've got to come to Jesus. You can never be sent out for Jesus if you've never come to him. Coming to him is that first step. Before there's ever a call to go, there's a call to come. And that's always the pattern with God. Relationship with God comes before requests for activity. The generous invitation of God begins the relationship. That's why salvation is a gift of grace, not a work. Jesus invites us to come to him, to receive from him, to enjoy the blessings of walking with him before he then asks anything of us and sends us out. You can't exactly make Jesus known if you don't know him, can you? And so there's a sense, too, of it being the logical flow. Knowing and enjoying Jesus goes with making him known. Coming to Jesus then leads to going for Jesus. And these men in Mark 1, it's an immediate thing at once, and it's all-encompassing. They drop everything. We don't know how much they knew about Jesus, how much they'd heard about him, but they saw something in Jesus that drew them to him. And maybe initially they didn't know, but as they got to know Jesus more and more, they'd have understood more and more the blessings that they receive because they're his disciples. They'd have probably already heard because Jesus has said it in various places, and John has been preaching about the forgiveness of sins. Maybe they already knew that if they go to Jesus, they get forgiveness. But in time, in a couple of pages' time, they'll hear those words, "Whoever believes in me is my brother and sister and mother and father, part of my family." And before long, they'd come to understand the beauty and the goodness of the eternal life that Jesus offers. They saw something in Jesus, and so they came to him, they followed him. And before long, Jesus would be sending them out to fish for people. These men, they would be the first to discover the privilege of enjoying life in Jesus. And then they would be the first to take up the call to make him known. But that first step of coming to Jesus is the vital first step. It always leads, though, to that second step, going for Jesus. I will send you out to fish for people. You might like think of it like dominoes. As you come to Jesus, that domino falls. The next one is an inevitability, a must-have. You go for Jesus. These two things are inseparable. So this morning, it will be right for us to ask, have we come to Jesus? Are we believers in Jesus? Have we trusted him? And if we've not yet come to Jesus, it would be a great question to ask, what's stopping you? These men in our passage, they came to Jesus immediately. They had loads to learn about what following Jesus meant, but their questions about Jesus didn't hold them back. They asked them along the way. They followed him and then asked their big questions. They wrestled with their big questions as they walked with him. I think that's a really helpful way of thinking about trusting Jesus. We don't get all our answers to all our questions and then trust him. In some sense, we'll never have all our answers to all our questions. Just ask some people who are a bit older, who have been trusting Jesus for a long time. They'll be able to tell you, I've still got questions, but I trust Jesus with them. Now, these men, they had all sorts of questions, but they dropped everything. So what's stopping you if you're not yet a believer? What's stopping you trusting Jesus today? And if you have come to Jesus, which I imagine is many of us, come to Jesus, following him, can you see that Jesus wants to send you out to fish for people? Once you've come to Jesus, you're ready to go for Jesus. Come, follow me, he says, and I will send you out to fish for people. Note it's I will. It's not an optional extra. From the word go, Jesus' intention, if you follow him, is for him to send you out with a task, a very specific task, a task to fish for people. If you're a Christian this morning, can you imagine standing by this lake and Jesus says to you, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Just as these men were by the lake getting ready to fish with their carefully organized nets and throw them into this specific area to try and gather loads of fish to sell at the market later, Jesus is unashamed in saying he wants his followers to go fishing for people. And that's not PH fishing like the scams. This is not a bad thing. This is not bait on a hook. This is gathering in nets into a life of fullness, of richness, of blessing. As with any metaphor that Jesus uses, we can take it too far. As God speaks of him as Jesus, as the rock, well, if we take that metaphor too far, we end up with a savior who is, well, a kind of concrete, physical, intangible, unknowable object. We don't take metaphor too far. It's not that Jesus is saying we need to try and capture unsuspecting people in our nets. If we took the metaphor too far, we'd end up taking them to the market to sell these people. The simple image is this. Jesus wants nets bulging. He wants boatloads of people to come into his kingdom. He wants boatloads of people to come into his kingdom. He wants people to come in as if they're coming in nets that are bulging into his kingdom. And his call is for his disciples, his followers, to join him in the work of drawing people in, fishing. And it's worth noticing, he's only inviting us to do what he is already doing. In our reading, just before our reading in verse 14 and 15, Mark chapter 1, we discover John was put in prison, and Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. He goes and he preaches, and he says, the time has come. He says, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What's Jesus doing there? He's fishing, casting the net, inviting people to come in. He's fishing for people. And even as Mark writes his gospel, this book that we read from this morning, even as Mark writes his book, Mark is fishing. Mark's book is a fishing implement. Mark is writing this book so that loads of people would read it and it would act as a big net to draw people into following Jesus because they see he's so good. Just have a look at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark's writing this book, good news about Jesus, so that people would read it and go, I want that. It's like a massive net trying to catch people, draw them in. And it's exactly what the apostles do all through Acts. They're fishing. They're preaching. They're telling people about Jesus. They're fishing. They're spreading the net wide to try and draw people in to trust Jesus. The pattern of following Jesus is this. Come to Jesus. Go for Jesus. Fish. Perhaps setting it up like this with a kind of division is unhelpful. I wonder if this is more helpful. This goes together. These are inseparable truths for Christians. It is the pattern that we come to Jesus and we go for Jesus. Now, the latter is not an optional extra. It's not just for the mature Christians or the people who feel especially gifted to share the message of Jesus. It's for every Christian. It's the pattern for all of us if we're trusting Jesus. Might be helpful, I wonder, as we think about the idea of fishing for people, as you think about going to your workplace as a fisher of people, maybe that feels slightly awkward. Maybe that has connotations for you of people as project. So I thought it might be helpful to just think about some other ways in which the New Testament speaks about this same idea, making Jesus known. Here are seven images that capture different language that the New Testament uses for this same concept, this same idea, making Jesus known. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter's writing to his brothers and sisters, and he says this, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. He might even have gone on to say, you're a family, God's family. And he goes on, he says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There is a very real sense for Peter that having been drawn from darkness into light, Christians are those who declare praise of Jesus to others. Maybe it's helpful for you to think of it like that rather than fishing for people. Going into your workplace or your school or with your neighbors, declaring praise of Jesus to them, saying, I've discovered Jesus is wonderful. Maybe that feels better than the fishing image. Or think of inviting others to come and see. So in John chapter 1, we discover that Philip is called by Jesus. Jesus says to him, come follow me. Now in that moment, Philip doesn't know much about Jesus, but he knows enough to run away, grab a friend, Nathanael, and say, we've found the Messiah. Come and see. Simple invitation to Nathanael. Come and see. Or take the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus speaks with her, she trusts him, and then she runs off to her town and tells all her friends, I've met the one who can tell me all the things about my life. I think he's the Messiah. Come and see. Maybe that's a helpful way for you to think of this idea of making Jesus known, inviting others to come and see what you've found. Or think of Jesus and his language of sowing seed. We spread the seeds of the gospel in people's lives. We share the hope that we have in Jesus, and we see what happens. Or as Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about the gospel as a precious gift that you share by giving it to people. The gift of eternal life. You give it out like a present. Maybe that's a helpful image for you. Or perhaps as Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, it's helpful to think like this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We, therefore, represent Jesus to others. As you live, as you speak for Jesus, you represent him to others. Another common image, that of shining like a light. Jesus speaks of Christians as like a city on a hill, shining light across the region. Or just last week, as we looked at Philippians, Paul says to them, as you live faithfully to Jesus, you're going to be like stars shining in the sky. And of course, then we get the fishing idea as well. All different ways of capturing the same idea. Christians are to be those who make Jesus known. Notice all of them are active. They're not a kind of passive, it just happens. They're an active declaring, a sowing, a shining, a sharing, a being an ambassador. There's an activeness to this making Jesus known. As Christians live, as Christians follow Jesus, the pattern is the same. We come to Jesus and we go for Jesus. Those two things are tied together, which is why these two things are tied together. As we enjoy life in Jesus, the next thing, the tied together thing is to be making him known. That's why we're a family who do both these things, enjoying life in Jesus and making him known. That latter part of our mission statement is not a kind of optional add-on extra. It's crucial for who we are. If we're going to be a Christian church, we need to be a church that's making Jesus known. Jesus himself invites us all to be fishing for people. What might this look like? Well, here I think is what this looks like in its simplest form. We have a message of good news shared with people who don't yet know Jesus. I think that's the simplest way I can describe this work of making Jesus known, taking the message that we have that is good news about Jesus and sharing it with people who don't know Jesus. I take it that lots of us know people who don't know Jesus. And if you're a Christian here this morning, then you know the message of Jesus because you've believed it yourself. And you might not feel confident to share all the intricacies of everything that you've discovered in the Bible about how Jesus takes away our sin and what eternal life is and how we're going to get it. But you do have a story of how you came to trust Jesus, and you can share that. You can share that message, that story of how you came to know Jesus. You can share that with other people. I think that's it in its most basic form. So three areas. Three areas that we could think about this in. As we take this message that we have about Jesus, this good news of life with him, and share it with people that don't know him. Three areas. First, in our lives, making him known through our lives, our personal lives, our personal circumstances, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues. We go to them And whether it just be a simple, hey, how was your weekend? Yeah, mine was fine. How was your weekend? Yeah, actually, it was really good. I had a lovely time at church. Maybe it's just a little seed like that that just begins to start a conversation. And next week, we actually sang this absolute belter at church. Leave it at that for now. But as the weeks go by, beginning to get opportunities to share something of your faith in Jesus with people, with your colleagues, with your neighbors, with your friends. We make Jesus known both with our words and our actions. So if you're a Christian and you're very unkind and you are very rude, you're saying something about Jesus with your life. And yet when you use your words, you get to speak with Jesus on your tongue. You say, Jesus is really precious to me. Can I? And it might be just this. Maybe you've got an old friend and you think, I don't think I've ever talked to them about Jesus. Why not this week or next week meet them and say, you know I go to church. Have I ever told you about why I think Jesus is great? And they say, no. Do you mind if I do? Are any of your friends likely, maybe one or two, not many of our friends are likely to say, no, I don't want you to tell me that. You just go to that friend, you say, you know church is important to me. Have I ever told you about why? Can I tell you? See what they say. See what happens as you do that. And then in church life, there are all sorts of ways that through our church life, we do make Jesus known already. And I think the primary way that Jesus is made known through our church is the people. As we go out from here into the world, we make Jesus known. But this service, this gathering on a Sunday morning also makes Jesus known. It has songs that speak of Jesus. It has prayers that help people understand what living with Jesus as Lord looks like. It has preaching and Bible readings that show people Jesus. And so I think this is probably one of the best things to invite people to. Hey, look, I really enjoy my church on a Sunday morning. Have you fancy coming one Sunday? See what it's like. Again, not loads of people. People will come up with excuses for not coming, but not loads of people are going to say, no, how dare you invite me to your church? I wonder what would happen if we each invited a couple of friends over the next few months. And then think of, and pray for tots on a Thursday morning. Every Thursday morning during term time, we invite people in, we welcome people into this building, and people hear about a little bit about Jesus. He is made known to them every week. It's bit by bit. Pray for that and rejoice. If you're involved in that, you're involved in fishing for people as Jesus asks you to be. And then there are things like the meeting place where Jesus is made known, and as we go and knock on doors, Jesus is made known little by little. We're making Jesus known. And then lastly, I think in what feels like a less tangible way, we make Jesus known through our partnerships. So as we pray and we give to things like the Hope of Glory mission, we genuinely contribute to making Jesus known in Sri Lanka. As we pray and give to Grace Church Tamworth, which doesn't even exist yet, we genuinely contribute to the work of making Jesus known in Tamworth, in a place that most of us has never even been, just driven past. Isn't that amazing? We get to contribute to making Jesus known in that area without even going there, without even speaking. Likewise, as we give to the work of Jerry and Joy Fowler in Oxford or Alec and Patrizia Catchpole in Italy, we help to make Jesus known in those places without even going there. As we pray for, as we support, as we care for the other churches in our partnership and other churches in Enfield, we contribute to the work of making Jesus known. Or think of Doogie and Tricia going back to Scotland, the old pastor here. As they went back to Scotland, there was a real sense, I think, of us sending them to a place where Jesus was less known and they were going to go and make him known. And I'm sure many of you have heard the sad news about Derek and Estelle and Lena and Zuza and Asher moving to Scotland in the summer. I think it will really help us. I mean, we're just going to really miss you. I think it will really help us as a church family if we can think of it as sending them to go and make Jesus known in Scotland. Oh, you should do that. That's a really good thing to do. We send people We partner with others as they make Jesus known. It might be in time that somebody decides, do you know what, I think the Lord is calling me to go and make Jesus known somewhere else, like Scotland. This isn't a prophecy, this isn't necessarily going to happen, but you know, hypothetically, in a few years' time, Veeman and Arasi might think, do you know, I think the church in Sri Lanka could really benefit from our help. We're going to go. And we would get to send them and contribute in sending them and praying for them in a wonderful way to them going and making Jesus known more and more in Sri Lanka. What a wonderful thing to be part of as a church family, making Jesus known. I'm going to give us a moment to think about this. How could you seek to make Jesus known this week, where you are, to the people that you know? What could you say that would just help them to know Jesus that little bit more? I'm going to give us a moment to think about that, and then I'll read some words from the end of Matthew 28. Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. He's with his disciples. The 11 went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." This must have been precious, he says. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray together. Our Father, we praise you and thank you that you have made us family as we trust Jesus, brothers and sisters united together. We praise you for the staggering, wonderful, glorious blessings that we enjoy because we're believers in Jesus. We praise you for Jesus himself, our beautiful, wonderful Savior who has great compassion on people like us. We praise you for adopting us into your family. We praise you for forgiving our sin. We praise you for giving us Christ's right standing before you. We praise you for your smile upon us. We praise you for your amazing love for us. Please, would those things give us great joy? And as we reflect on those things, as we meditate on those things, please would we be people who then go and make Jesus known, sharing him with the people that we know, sharing him with the people that we live near. Father, we want to pray, just because they're on my mind, and you know, it's obvious why, we want to pray for our direct neighbours here, even as they trim their garden. We want to pray that you would help us to make Jesus known to them. And we want to pray, please, that you would help us to have courage and boldness and help. And we want to pray, thank you, that Jesus says he is with us always to the very end of the age. Please would that give us great confidence. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.